We're still processing the government report yesterday that shows inflation still above 8%, just barely lower than the month before. Even the White House appears concerned. President Biden was at a farm in Illinois yesterday explaining his plan to lower the cost of food. Well, today, you're probably wondering where all of this is heading. So let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Diane, welcome. How do you read these inflation numbers?
Well, the good news is that it came off the high of last month, but as you said, it's still really sizzling hot. The good news is some of the goods inflation that we had seen related to the pandemic is beginning to ease. Things like used car prices fell, but new car prices continue to rise. What's more fundamentally concerning is not these pandemic issues, it's the ongoing upward pressure we're seeing in things like shelter costs. That's over a third of the CPI. One, the CPI just doesn't measure those very well on a real-time basis.
The consumer price index, right.
Exactly. And what's important is when I think about those components, those and medical costs now accelerating as well, those are big issues for consumers along with food and energy. Now, the Fed has more control over the course of course, not the war in Ukraine and things that affect us that way, like energy and food, but they do have control over things like shelter costs and what we've seen in the housing market. And that'll create a floor on inflation. And that's one of the reasons why the Fed is still so concerned. In fact, when I look at some of the rents that are going up and the level of rents in many cities, you're starting to see a real issue of, you know, the risk of working poor, being homeless yet again.
I think one of the other big questions is what is happening with wages? Because once you adjust for inflation, wages, which had been inching up, are actually falling. So just how out of whack are the wages with inflation?
That's a really good point. We are seeing wages still accelerating, but from consumers' perspective, they're chasing a moving target. Now, one of the reasons they're still adding to costs in the overall economy is churn is very high. Quit rates are at a record high, and that's costly for firms, along with the fact that we generated 1.7 million jobs in the first quarter. That is equivalent to a year in the 2010s in one quarter alone. That's 1.7 million new paychecks. But because most of those new paychecks were not going up as fast as inflation, it's almost as if, especially for the lowest wage consumers, they got a moment in the sun as the economy began to reopen, where wages finally leveled up and they were able to work only one job. We've seen those multiple job holders have started to pick up again after falling quite dramatically when wages moved up. Mm-hmm. People who retired who are over 65 are coming back into the labor force. They're unretiring again. That increases the supply of workers, but it's for the wrong reasons. They're coming back because they can't afford to deal with an economy where inflation is so sizzling hot.
Well, and before inflation started going up so fast, many employers would give, you know, a modest cost of living increase every year, maybe something like 2%. Do you see a lot of employers out there able to keep up with an 8% raise every year?
Well, you know, no. COLAs, cost of living increases, those really were a legacy of the 1970s. And one of the reasons they were in existence is because we had nearly two decades of inflation. And basically, they started to get consumers and workers and labor unions started to put in cost of living adjustments because inflation was eroding living standards so much. I don't see employers doing that. In fact, even though employers have upped what they expect to hand out in wages, it's still well below anything that's going to come in on inflation in 2022. It really gets to a sort of unsustainable situation, and that's why the Federal Reserve is trying to talk about cooling off the pace of job demand. We're at two job openings per every worker looking. Something that's more normal is 1-to-1, and that's still a tight labor market. And the Fed would like to say that we'll hit a soft landing, that we can sort of meet demand for workers and the supply of workers. So they come in line, we get back to wages that outpace inflation again, inflation comes down without an increase in the unemployment rate. That sounds great in theory. In reality, that's a very hard thing to do.
So what do you think might happen with this soft landing, quote unquote? Do you think the Fed is pumping the brakes too hard so that, in fact, this economy would be at risk of tipping into a recession once inflation does slow down?
Unfortunately, I think the Fed is in a corner at this point in time to prevent the kind of entrenched inflation that we saw in the 70s. The Fed is now going to have to make some very tough trade-offs. And my fear is that we aren't going to be able to get inflation down to something that's more reasonable, that frankly, people just don't notice without an increase in the unemployment rate. And that's a very hard reality. Inflation hits 100% of households. Unemployment hits a few percent, but it's incredibly painful.
Sounds like you think a recession could be coming.
I think we are going to go into a recession. I think the U.S. economy, although it's very robust, our resilience is actually one of the things that is a problem now, because we're so resilient that we're actually feeding the beast on inflation and not allowing inflation to come down more rapidly. It's no easy feat to cool off a boiling pot without throwing in a whole lot of ice. And when you do that, you worry about the pot itself cracking. And that's the point I think we're at right now.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much for your insights. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And by the way, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen does not believe a recession is necessarily coming. She told a House committee this morning that the Fed can reduce inflation without cracking the pot, so to speak. And she cited strong job market and low levels of household debt as reasons to be optimistic.